Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll be going over verses 8 through 23. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. If you have your Lectures in Scripture series seminary notes, please get those out. And also, we will entitle this short lesson, Behind Enemy Lines. Behind Enemy Lines. Let's start out with the reading of the Word of God, and immediately following that, we'll have the exposition. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 23, we're going to consider verses 8 and 9 first. Excuse me already. Quote, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. End quote. Ever since Adam handed over the earthly kingdom to Satan in the garden, man has been behind enemy lines. There are some things that you don't do behind enemy lines. First, let's consider that you as a Christian shouldn't break the enemy's rules or laws. This brings attention to yourself and your mission. Once or if you have broken their law, the civic law, your mission may become in jeopardy, or it may become inhibited. We are not here to bring attention to ourselves one way or another, whether the attention is good or bad. We are here to honor and glorify Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Secondly, first, we don't break civil rule or law. Second, you don't turn over your fellow citizen of the kingdom of light to the enemy unless he has seriously broken the law of God also. This is somewhat controversial, and it needs to be looked at on an individual basis, individual cases. If he is working for the kingdom to advance and accomplish that which would glorify our Lord, he shouldn't be punished by the powers of darkness on our account. The key word there is on our account. Or because we sinfully desire his detriment. This may involve envy. There is such a thing as one Christian envying the spiritual gifts of another Christian. It ought not to be true in any Christian's life. But it does exist in Christendom. Also, along this line, sexual impropriety, lies, and gossip have no place in the kingdom of God. It helps no one who seeks to work behind enemy lines to have this going on. Along with this, we ought to pray for one another, that we don't, we are not detrimental to one another. May the Lord bless all His servants, and may they be faithfully obedient to his word. Redeemed men work for a new kingdom founded not on the first Adam, but the second, Jesus Christ. As his kingdom advances according to his plan, there are many battles, some of which perhaps go unnoticed by the average Christian or unknown by others. Our present passage is just one illustration of a spiritual battle that was fought in the physical world. The narration continues with the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad II, waging war against Israel. He set up various camps, moving them from one place to another place, so as to keep his enemy off guard. It was in these camp setups that he took counsel with his generals and war planners to design strategies for the purpose of destroying Israel. Let the Christian know that our great opponent does the same thing. Satan, with his army of fallen ones, plans our destruction. Quote, "And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware," end quote. Because we have the Word of God, we are aware of the devil's devices. His tactics, which have remained relatively the same over the centuries, are simple, predictable, and rather uncreative. These tactics include, but are not limited to, the following list. Excuse me. Tactics of the devil include confusion, fear, depression, ignorance, spiritual blindness, deception, the good old-fashioned lie, half-truths, attacking weaknesses, seeking to go around strong points, taking siege, false spirituality, and returning for a second attack after either a victory or a loss. Because of this, we are therefore instructed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, to, quote, "put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," end quote. Having on all the armor of God for our defense, we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as an offensive weapon against the powers of evil darkness. We, as soldiers of light, often find the battle brought to us, so we need to be in tune with God's word that we do not stumble. The word "beware" means that we should take heed to what is going on around us, and therefore to walk circumspectly. Elijah, the man of God in our passage, sent counsel from God to the king of Israel concerning the actions of the enemy. In practical terms today, in our everyday life, we should let our elected government representatives know and understand our biblically correct point of view when occasions come up. Not to do so would be to fail the, quote, "being the salt of the earth," end quote, clause in Jesus' plan for our spiritual growth. We are not to hide our spiritual light. So too here, Elijah informed the king without solicitation, bringing to bear his spiritual power down to defeat the enemy. Note also that Elijah was not vague in so doing, but named the troublemaker and the place of trouble. We need not be bashful about condemning the works of darkness in our present age. The watchman on the wall needs to call the alarm loud and clear, as seen in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 4 through 6, which says, quote, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." End quote. So, we as Christians need to keep our eyes and ears open to be in constant contact with headquarters, that is, the throne of grace, and give warnings to others as well as heed warnings. These warnings can and should be found in family matters, church matters, civil matters, political matters, and most importantly, in spiritual matters. We are in a spiritual war. Verses 10 through 12, quote, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saving him there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." End quote. After being frustrated repeatedly by Israel outmaneuvering Syria's army, the king suspected that there was a spy in his group of counselors. One of his counselors wisely pointed out that Israel had a prophet of God, from whom all secrets are open and known. Verses 13 and 14. Quote, "And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." End quote. If you notice here that Elijah was no longer at the Jordan location with the school of the sons of the prophets. Christian education is important, as we saw in the previous lesson. There are various schools for the learning of the Word of God in Israel. This is found throughout the Old Testament. This in itself demonstrates the importance of humbly learning obedience by knowing His Word and therefore His will. Knowing His Word goes along with knowing His will goes along with knowing His Word and vice versa. Now, notice that the devil uses men to sneak up on the man of God, to bring him to his destruction. The devil only can steal, kill, and destroy. as it so specifies in Scripture. It may not look that way in the short term, but ultimately that is where his road will end. He seeks to steal away people's hope, joy, and productivity. That is, their God-given task here on earth. He wants to destroy people's minds, health, and lives. Drugs and alcohol are his widely used tools. He would love to kill each one of us, both physically and spiritually. Those who are born from above need not fear any of this, because let it be known that all his threats and noise that he can make in your life is really nothing but bluff. Whatever he can bring into your life, know that you will be okay in the Lord. The fire shall not hurt thee, but only refine the gold. The city of Dothan was located northeast of Samaria, the capital of Israel, which means that the large Syrian garrison had to go a considerable distance into the country of Israel just to get to Elisha. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. Let's include 17 also. Quote, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, of fire round about Elijah." End quote. The devil had used the darkness to surround the man of God, who slept soundly in the safety of the Lord. There are many kinds of darknesses in our world, and they aren't found in just one particular location. The powers of darkness rejoice in using spiritual blindness and a darkened conscience to gain advantage over the sons of Adam, wherever they may be found. As demonstrated here, there is only security, comfort, assurance, and true safety in the Lord. Elijah's servant rose early in order to serve early. He was shocked to see that the city was surrounded by the enemy, and he rushed to tell his master. "How shall we do?" expresses uncertainty on the servant's part, not knowing if anything but death awaited them shortly. Elisha reassured his servant that those who were with them were more than those who were merely surrounding the city. This may have sounded unbelievable, owing to the fact that they obviously stood there alone, with no army at their beckoning call, to oppose the murderous horde that encircled their city. Indeed, the situation looked impossible and grim at best. This was a time that panic would strike the hearts of most sane men and cause hearts to fail from fear. Elijah's faithful servant had not the vision of the prophet. Elijah prayed for the need of his servant, that he too may see. Then, after prayer, came enlightenment. We need not expect too much enlightenment without prayer. Then, Even more shocking than the sudden appearance of an enemy army at the city gates was the fiery army of God that filled the hills behind the enemy, surrounding them all. We ought not be too surprised if the enemy shows up on our doorstep someday. On such occasions of being overwhelmed, prayer is to be the first resort, and not trying to figure things out through the mind of the flesh. He will open our eyes as to the path of escape and victory. These verses testify to the fact that there is more than just one guardian angel assigned to the care of each saint. According to Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, the number of fallen angels at the devil's disposal is only one-third the number of the heavenly host. So, rest assured, we are well looked after and cared for, and the opposing forces are outnumbered. Verses 18 through 20. Quote, "And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria." End quote. Just as God is able to open the eyes of the blind and enlighten the mind, so too he can close them, as seen here. It is not mentioned as to what method God used to blind the entire company with temporary blindness, as in Genesis chapter 19, verse 11. God can justly blind anyone who willfully is the enemy of the kingdom of God and of his Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we see that the general blindness of the lost of this world is due to the activity of the devil, and not God. Quote, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We find that all over the world, the devil desperately wants removed from the plain sight of the public, the gospel, the word of God, or of God himself. Lest, as this says here, lest a ray of light shine through the darkness to the lost and dying of this world. The devil intends on keeping them in the dark as much as possible. As we see here in this passage, the Lord is able to open the eyes of the blind. Finally, verses 21 through 23, we'll conclude with this. "And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel." End quote. Elijah here directed the king to provide one of the few known occasions of humanitarian treatment of prisoners recorded. These soldiers were not only fed, but permitted to go back to their own country in peace. Such a policy would seem to be self-defeating, since the prisoners would merely return and join the enemy army once again. However, the success of Elisha's hospitality to the enemy is seen in the words, quote, "So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel," end quote. Elijah, being spiritually in tune with his Lord, followed closely the principles expounded clearly in the New Testament by Christ, found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 43 and 44, which reads, quote, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you," end quote. Then, also by Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, which reads, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." End quote. Those of us working, living, fighting, struggling behind enemy lines in Christ's expanding kingdom should take these precious words to heart, even when surrounded. Let's close this lesson with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for Your word and for Your provisions for us. Give us understanding as to Your word and Your will and to the devil's doings. Lord, we ask that You'll cause us to look to Thee for all of our provisions, all of our needs and protection. And now, Lord, we pray that Your word will accomplish that which is intended. And we pray now that You'll bless the hearer, make them indeed doers of Thy word. For it is in Your name we pray, and for Thy sake, amen.